Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here and present to you a topic that attracts a lot of interest in the industry recently, even in these challenging times. And the topic is enterprise intelligence. And by that we mean a transformational journey where data and analytics are used to drive performance and decision making in shipping. We're only going to scratch the surface of this topic, but hopefully I'm going to give you enough stimulation to explore this fascinating area on your own. So what exactly is enterprise intelligence, and what other buzzwords come along with it? Enterprise intelligence refers to an enterprise-wide capability to capture, transform and report data in an actionable manner that enables management to make fact-based decisions on a tactical and strategic side level. This process requires data that are typically of big volume. Hence, we use also the term big data. Now, the analysis of big data relates to three types of analytics. We've got descriptive analytics, which refers to the analysis of historical information as to what has happened, when, where, how many times, and so on. We've got predictive analytics, in which we're trying to understand why something has happened and what will happen next. And then we've got prescriptive analytics, where we're trying to determine the decision or the action that will produce the best outcome based on the insights that we got from the previous stages of the analysis. Now, big data can be found in many and diverse areas in our society and in our economy. Just to give you a few examples, big retailers and consumer goods companies like Tesco and Procter & Gamble use big data to decide which products to offer on discount, at which days of the week, and by which geographical areas, and so on, in order to maximize their sales. Another example is Google. Google uses search engine results to predict flu outbreaks across the United States, and then they provide that information to the Federal Office of Disease Control in order to take flu vaccines to those areas. Another interesting example is UBS. UBS is using satellite images from the parking lots of Walmart to improve the accuracy of their prediction of the quarterly earnings of the company. And they do that by counting cars in the parking lots as a proxy for customer flows. From there, they worked up a model, a mathematical model, to estimate the correlation between customer flows and quarterly earnings. Actually, there is a similar story in shipping as well, about the guy that took a helicopter and flew over Chinese ports right before the big bang, the big boom in China. This guy was supposed to check on the stockpiles in Chinese ports. He saw that the stockpiles were very low, and he had the epiphany to go long in the market, and he made a fortune. I don't know if that's, that story is true or not, if it's a myth. The guy eventually went bust, and probably he should have flown over the shipyards as well to see the number of ships that were being built a few years later. So let's see how this idea of big data fits into shipping and what kind of data we have available in this industry. Well, there are two sources, internal and external. With respect to internal sources, we have OPEX figures, we have voyage performance indicators, data from our marines department, And we have records and sensor readings from our technical department. From the external point of view, we have market prices, spot rates, freight indices, bunker prices, FFA prices. We've got fixtures. We've got vessel tracking data from AIS, the automatic identification system. And we've got weather data. So data is actually everywhere in shipping. But most of us in the industry tend to either ignore it and rely too much on hindsight, or maybe focus on a couple of areas. There are others that do take the extra mile and collect as many data as they can, but they do not actually know what to do with it. They do not know how to extract insights and how to integrate those insights in the decision-making process. You're going to get the PowerPoint, so I'm sorry, it's the letters are too small here to see. Here we're trying to identify a few areas where you can apply data analytics and provide the some ideas of the benefits that you can get from that. And well, actually, I'm going to use a few examples, actual examples, based on the work we have done with a few customers. On the first area, the chartering and commercial strategy, we're now discussing with a customer about developing a bespoke maritime intelligence platform that is going to take data from AIS, fixtures, lists, as well as data from other sources to build the capability to monitor competitor positions, speed profiles of the competitors, their deployment strategy, and compare their commercial performance against against peers. Very interesting project. In the portfolio and risk management area, we recently did a project with an owner trying to benchmark the vessels against the freight indices and actually compare the actual performance against, a, let's say, a naive spot strategy. Not in an absolute, not in terms of absolute numbers, but on a risk-adjusted basis. Lastly, in the cost management area, we did a project, a couple of projects actually, with respect to analyzing operating expenses. We did a deep dive analysis, taking millions of journal entries with respect to OPEX items, you know, supply, crew expenses, you name it. And we try to determine what are the key cost drivers and actually try to quantify the impact of those. So what does it mean for my OPEX if I'm running a fleet with older vessels? If I have vessels that are built in China instead of Japan? These sort of things. Actually, one might say, you know, is this a good time to apply data analytics in shipping? People seem to be concerned with more deeper issues. People seem to be concerned about their survival, especially in the dry bulk market. And let me tell you that this is the right time, because if the market was at $50,000 a day, nobody would care about data analytics. But if there is a way for you to extract that extra bit of value, either on the commercial side or on the cost side, that extra bit of value could make the difference between survival and collapse. So this trend towards more use of data in the industry is indeed taking place as we speak. Here I'm providing a few examples of what some of the companies in the industry are doing in this domain. But I would like to highlight the new professions that seem to make their appearance in the industry. These are actual job postings in the press or on the company websites. So there's a Greek company looking for a data scientist. another company in Denmark is looking for an analyst for business analytics. Yeah, Dutch company for a BI. BI stands for business intelligence. He's looking for a BI information architect. And another company is looking for a performance manager. So that's that. For me, this is evidence of the level of acceptance of these new techniques, these new ideas in the industry. And also another personal experience. I tried recently to subscribe to a data service from a very well-known vendor. The price that I was quoted, the offer, was 40% higher than the number I got 2 years ago. So apparently, there's high demand for this kind of data services. So shipping is probably not as passive or as slow moving as someone would think in terms of adopting these new techniques. And as the level of sophistication grows, we're going to see more people, more companies making the transition from descriptive analytics onto predictive and ultimately to prescriptive analytics. And to give you an example of that transition, let's take the case of a Capesize operator or Capesize owner. So he starts by producing a report with the current positions of the World Cape Fleet. He then makes a query about the number of capes that are ballasting to Brazil with ETA within the next 15 days. And this is as far as descriptive analytics would go. Now, the next level of analysis is when he tries to actually estimate the correlation between the number of ballasters and the spot rates in the Atlantic. Taking the extra step, one step further, is to extrapolate that information and try to determine what will happen to the spot rates in Atlantic and the Pacific based on the forward look positions of the World Cape Fleet. Now, having all these insights in mind, the next stage is the prescriptive analytics. So having this knowledge, the next question is, how do I position my fleet, having all this knowledge, in order to maximize my freight revenue? Do I position more in the Atlantic, more in the Pacific? By what percentages? Now, if this trend towards greater use of data and analytics is going to continue, and we believe that it will continue, what are the kind of opportunities and threats that present themselves in the industry? I'm going to highlight a few ones. In the opportunity side, there's going to be more transparency. And let's take the example of what I call their commercial benchmarking. I believe that in a few years' time, it's going to be possible for players in the industry to benchmark their commercial performance against peers by collating and analyzing voyage P&Ls across routes and across vessel designs. So that's going to help commercial managers do like-for-like comparisons between managers, routes, and vessels. Another opportunity is in the insurance domain. I strongly believe that in a few years' time, insurance providers will provide more flexible pricing schemes based on geofencing. So depending on the number of crossings or the time that vessels spend in dangerous waters or in dangerous ports, the premium is going to reflect that risk. So we're going to go to a flexible pricing scheme. In terms of threats, we have intentionally the word transparency again there. It's no mistake. Well, transparency is has two sides, a positive and a negative one. Now, in the negative sense, your competitors are going to be able to, you know, view your positions, view your movements in the market. It's going to be difficult to hide your commercial expertise, and you had your deployment strategy. Also, classification societies and vetting service providers will have more data, more technical and operational data in their hands to enhance their scrutiny and to augment their services with additional sources of data. And a perfect example of that is RightShip. I invite you to go to their website to see the new idea of the next vetting tool. They call it RightShip Key. They write it QI for quality, index or something. But they pronounce it key. And if you go to their website, you're going to see that they keep emphasizing the use of data analytics under this new vetting scheme. Now, the route to building an advanced analytical capability, of course, depends on where you start. And a useful first step is to do a diagnostic to determine your current maturity state and your gaps in this domain. Of course, it is unrealistic to expect someone from the basic or developing state of maturity to all of a sudden become a data analytics mastermind. It's not going to happen. Based on our experience, we do not recommend making massive changes. What we recommend is to concentrate on making targeted efforts on expanding the sources of your data, building models that fit your operation, that fit your business, and transforming your organizational structure. Now, to fully exploit data and analytics, there are three mutually supportive capabilities. You can see it up there. I'm not going to spend time on that because there is huge literature actually out there. You can look it for yourself. I just want to highlight the key problem that I see in shipping, and that is the data quality. Actually, it's the key problem in every industry, is the quality of the data. Data are often inconsistent or unstructured or just dirty. And just to give you an example of bad quality data, some time ago, records at British hospitals showed that there were 17,000 men that were pregnant. They had to be because they were registered for prenatal exams. So obviously someone made an error in entering this data into the system. But this seemingly simple error resulted in claims, resulted in wrong billing, and so on. So take care of your data. Now, if you decide to make this journey and to start off, what is the best way to do it? And there is no universal answer to that. It will depend on your current state, your current capabilities, your appetite, and of course, your budget. Thankfully, there are a few tips that I can provide. First of all, I think it's important to formalize the initiative and to get the top management behind it. Also, it's comforting to know that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can learn from best practices from other companies in shipping and in other industries. I think it's also very important that you get as many people on board as you can by socializing the benefits and providing more training. And it's always a good idea to focus on quick wins. Such an idea is to apply what we call visualization tools, which are very cheap and they are very easy to install, to implement. They sit on top of every system and database, even on a simple Excel. And as far as the steps that you need to consider, I have put there some of them. I would like to highlight the last one. I would strongly recommend the last one, hired an outside consultant, and I know a really good one. Nicola, that's my last page. This is the end of my presentation. I kept my time. I just want to leave this stand with a key message. Enterprise intelligence is not just about collecting information. We have all been doing that for many years now. Your very presence here in this forum is a testament to that. We all came here to hear about views, trends, developments, yeah? And tomorrow we're going to go back to our office, call up a colleague in another company, and discuss about the forum. Oh, there was a guy that talked about the market, and he showed some really cool graphs of supply and demand, so on. No offense to anyone who's going to show some cool graphs of supply and demand. But the point here is that we're not just collect information. We're talking about the kind of information that you don't want to share with others. The kind of information that is generated out of proprietary models and techniques that is going to give you your a competitive edge in the market. Sorry about that. This is why many people say that data is the new asset class. Yeah. So next time if someone asks you what is your asset base, you can reply, I've got 20 tankers, 10 bulkers, and some really good data. Thank you very much. Thank you.